Greetings, everyone.
It's been a while. I'd like to say we have been on a summer vacation, but summer started last week.
So we were on extended spring break.
Yeah, that's why I'm a little hoarse right now.
He's worn out from, you know, Fort Lauderdale.
Cancun,
whatever that lake is in Arizona.
Cabo Wabo. Hanging out with Sammy Hagar in Cabo San Lucas. That guy's short.
Got short.
Yeah, he's a short rock and roller.
Yeah, well, that's your Hagar fact for the week, everybody.
That's right. Short.
Sammy Hagar is short.
Yes. You know what wasn't short? This movie this week.
Was it my pick?
Yes. Well, it was voted on. I voted, but I forgot how did that all play out?
Well, I put up a vote on our Facebook page, and after much debate, I originally started with, I guess I did technically put this one out there as an option, but the choices were Disorderlies, or I didn't quite come right out and say what the names of the movies were. I just kind of an 80s rap comedy.
Yeah.
A weird, I don't know where what I refer to Holy Mountain is, but... somebody nailed the Disorderlies just from the brief synopsis I put out there. Which...
There's this other 80s rap comedy that had the Beastie Boys in it. What the hell was that?
I don't remember what that was called. I guess there was also the Kid and Play series, The House Parties.
But that was in the 90s, right?
Was that the 90s? That it was right on the cusp of that. And Fat Boys were definitely 80s. But
Yeah, no, because it was supposed to retell the story of Russell Simmons and that other guy where they started the record label.
Oh, Def Jam.
Yeah, and it had, I think it had the Fat Boys in it, too.
I don't remember what that was, but I do kind of vaguely remember it.
So people voted on the Facebooks, right?
They voted on the Facebooks. It was kind of a split decision. Some people mentioned a movie with a weird Christ-like figure, and someone brought up the movie Antichrist, which is a Lars von Trier film. And I'd opted to go with somewhat ambitious pick, and that actually was commented on as such. I chose Holy Mountain, The Holy Mountain, a film by Alessandro Jodorowsky.
Yes. Real quick, it was Crush Groove. Crush Groove was the 80s rap comedy. It told the story.
Oh, Crush Groove, yes, Crush Groove.
Yeah, that had everybody in it. It had cool, it had Run-DMC, it had New Edition was in it, Fat Boys were in it, Beastie Boys, a bunch of people. So anyway, LL Cool J.
but Ralph Bellamy wasn't in it.
All this crew, Curtis Blow was in it. Anyway, but Alejandro Jodorowsky was not acting in it like in this one.
Hey. Alejandro Jodorowsky, which people either know immediately or have never heard of.
It's like his films, they either are going to be very well received or they're going to pretty much beta block anything. Just be like, no.
When we decide on this movie, I was asked by an unnamed Gonzo person.
Which one of the two or three?
Well, we'll just keep Blue Misery. One said, "We'll need a chocolate choo-choo for this film," and my answer was, "You'll need a lobotomy." And probably a chocolate choo-choo.
Full disclosure, that was me actually. I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to throw you under the bus. There'll be watch the sites for more information on the chocolate choo-choo.
Yeah, it'll make you thirsty.
It's actually a very promising thing, and you might actually like that. But more on that on the site and things.
Yeah.
But so, boy, if I had a nickel for trying to describe this plot.
Yeah, I don't know. What led you to suggest this movie? I think I can kind of get what you did with Disorderlies, right? It was like, It was in our wheelhouse because it's a pretty terrible movie, but it's fun and it's got some boobs.
It's fun. And I should note that's still on my list. I just moved it down.
And it's almost, dare I say, a period piece. It was in the mid-80s, and it's right in our wheelhouse as well.
And God help me, I love the Fat Boys. But
I mean, that's 30 years ago, believe it or not. So, exactly. And I think I played one of those songs, too.
I think we have featured a Fat Boys number.
So the Holy Mountain, I'm going to suggest this movie.
Well, it's one of the few movies where I didn't really come across this. My brother, who's quite into film, and I don't mean, I shouldn't say into film. He likes experimental film.
So he likes the avant-garde.
Yes.
He likes surreal kind of retellings.
He watched some more mainstream stuff, but he likes the Jodorowskis. He likes the, if you've ever seen Slacker, it's a big favorite of his. It's a Linklater film. And Linklater is actually doing a movie now that's been actively filming for 10 years.
Now, or is it done? Is it because he followed the life of a kid growing up, right?
Yeah, and I think it's actually done. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know if it's out
I
yet.
I think it
or
came out, actually.
It may have come out, but that kind of stuff, any kind of project along those lines, and a movie like this.
Yeah. So your brother was like, hey, you know, if you want to do some weird off the wall stuff, you want to do some gonzo stuff, check this out.
Well, actually, a couple of Thanksgivings ago, we have a in-family film contest.
Oh, God. And he submitted this to your family?
Well, not like it's not like Grandma and everybody sitting around watching The Holy Mountain, but just
although you know that title alone could throw Grandma off into believing that she wants to see it.
Grandma watching The Holy Mountain, but you know, like some years. I mean, it goes back a ways when I was even younger, and I would tape early South Parks or pull some stuff from the internet. Or one year was the Found Footage Festival.
Yeah, yes.
I was killing it. I had a great track record going. He said, wait till you see what I have this year. And I said, oh, there's no way you can top that. And he's like, oh, yeah? Let's watch The Holy Mountain. And he said, have you ever seen a movie where a guy craps in a jar and it gets turned to gold? I said, no, I have not. So then I watched it, and it was hard to watch the first time. I kind of was a little more into it the second time, although it got really slow at one point, more than one point. He kind of took the crown with that one, and it's been a back and forth since then. And, you know, but usually it was more straightforward, more linear, a Frisky Dingo here or there, something weird from Adult Swim. I have another series of movies that are called Lost and Found Video. Similar.
Yeah,
they're kind of weird music video / whatever. But anyway, that's where it came up. And I watched it the one time. It haunted me a bit. And I've had a copy. I was compelled to keep a digital copy for myself. And I revisited it, and I decided it was time. And once I put the preview up on our page, actually one of our loyal fans said it was quite the ambitious pick because he couldn't quite get through El Topo.
All right, that's where I came in, because I actually sat through El Topo in high school. The great video library, the six-pack, did me in on this one. For those of you who grew up in the Kansas City area, Video Library was one of the few homegrown video stores that had amassed a massive, unique collection. And they would have coupons that come out, and you'd eventually be able to print online. And I don't know, have we talked about Video Library yet? I'm sure we have. All right, so this is just something else, because we tell you about the porno lookup and all that other stuff. But the movie was El Topo, and I'm like, okay, this is in, like, it was either in Western or it was in horror or science fiction. In all seriousness, El Topo did not have a classification. I mean, I guess you could call it an acid Western. But I remember watching that thing and just having my mind completely fucked. And I'm like, wow, but I sat through and I watched the whole thing. So, once I dug in and figured out, you know, hey, it's Alejandro Jodorowsky, I'm like, oh boy, I'm in for a ride.
I'm trying to, if you've not seen an Alejandro Jodorowsky, and I'm probably saying that wrong, but if you haven't seen one of his movies,
Well, not all of them. Not all of them are mind bender. I mean,
some of them are more straightforward.
Yeah, and there's a thing with that he did with Peter O'Toole and like Christopher Lee and like some other guy called The Rainbow Thief that was kind of like happy, but he kind of directed it. I don't know if he wrote it. If he had a chance to write it, I'm sure he'd be messed up. I mean, he had. What movie was it, that science fiction movie that he had, that a documentary came out with that?
He was the original director for Dune, and he was going to do a screenplay for the books, and they gave him a big budget, and he had spent, like, a good portion of it just in pre-production because he was going to do it. He was going to, totally different cast, he was going to have, totally spaces out. Anyway, he was supposed to direct Dune. There's a documentary about it. They said it's actually better than the movie Dune. he ended up getting canned, and they brought in Dino De Laurentiis to do Dune. No, I think David Lynch to do Dune. Dino De Laurentiis was producer.
Yeah, because didn't Dino De Laurentiis do, like, Flash Gordon, or am I completely off my rocker?
Oh, maybe.
So he's had his fingers on some very unique properties, and he's created some very, very unique properties. El Topo was messed up, and the allegories abound. And I knew going into this, I was like, oh great, this is going to be messed up. But just before we try to piece apart the plot, which is it might take a while, and in seriousness, I don't know how we're going to be able to do it. But one thing I can't say before we even get started is that it wasn't too bad. I wasn't really too affected by it.
It's not. The effects are somewhat cartoony at times. Not cartoons,
well,
really. But...
Yeah, and we'll talk, because it's kind of a satire. You get all these weird effects,
there's a little bit of yucks built
but
in there.
There's some things that he does that kind of makes fun of each of the planet person's strength and stuff like that, and kind of pointing out the absurd, but this movie didn't affect me at all, really. I was like, okay, well, this is happening.
Well, if you've got an El Topo lodged in there, then, yeah.
Well, and, you know, I thought about it, and you know what it was? I was so put out and disgusted by zombie ass.
Nothing much can reach that level.
It does, this movie didn't, and here, and I think here's why, Zombie Ass didn't really have much of a story. Or at least they didn't have any kind of thing below that it's poop scratch surface, right? Zombie Ass is just, we're going to gross you out with some weird-ass stuff, and it's going to be all fecal stuff, right? So with this, there is an arc. You had a lot of symbolism, and you had a lot of things that actually you'd think about. So when you're presented with these weird-ass things, because this guy loved to use, like, amputees and midgets and stuff. Like, real life and have them act, you know? I was like, okay, fine, you know, whatever.
And he likes nudity and, I wouldn't say gore. Gore is not the right term.
No, because blood, I mean...
Well, I would say symbolic gore.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of...
Andy and...
There's blood, but there's blood used in unique ways that don't exactly, you know, dare I say, get to Story of Ricky level where, you know, a guy's pulling out an intestines and choking him with it, his own intestines or something like that.
There's a scene with intestines, but it's just Link sausages sitting on top of a person wearing a shirt, so...
Pretty much. Yeah, and then when, like, some people are getting gutted, you know, people pulling out, like, cantaloupes and birds and, like, paper, right? So...
Or dust, or, you know, it's...
Or, like, I remember I have notes in this, some guy's jism was actually, like, oatmeal, and the lady grabbed it and ate it. But I can understand. But see, that's the thing, is it made you think about, okay, well, they just did the dirty dance, but what she has in her hands is like oatmeal, pretty much. Like, what does that represent? And then it makes you work harder, you know, to think about it. And that's where the shock, and I wouldn't say the shock, but like the gross out factor or the weird ass factor of it, that's where it's a little bit more forgivable for me. Because in contrast to like zombie ass, right? I mean, the guy, they spent too long with that guy just bubbling up air bubbles in the outhouse before he actually came up. And then grabbed her ass and then literally slapped this lady's ass for like 2 minutes. You know, where it's like, okay, I get the point. You know, they pretty much Family Guy'd it. But like, this is like, okay, all the different colors, the costumes, what they were doing, what they represented.
Jared, this is actually a real artistic film.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's
not to be said, it's weird as hell.
Oh, yeah. No, it's off the wall goofy, you know.
It's just nuts. If you show this to most people, they're gonna not make it through it. But
it's like if you're doing weird for weirdness' sake,
it's all right.
I mean this had the courage to like introduce nudity and fecal material and blood. Like if you took all that out, it would just be this goofy, you know, fairy tale is what it would be. It's like Wizard of Oz, the adult version, right? It's like you have these crazy midgets that represent the lollipop thieves, but now think of them as being like dirty Chileans that are amputated, you know? And that's about, it's more an adult theme, but it's still kind of like a fantasy adventure, almost like a fairy tale.
And it's, how do I put it? It's hard, but it does have a plot. It does have a beginning, middle, and end. It does follow a character. As much as it doesn't seem like it when you're watching it, it is.
Yeah.
And there is some dialogue. It's in English.
That said, I hated the end of this movie.
Yeah, they we'll get to that.
That is such a... Yeah, we'll get to that. I don't want to put this on a pestle too much.
No, I'm just saying... In comparison to like a zombie, yes, this really is like an artistic work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So
there's effort into it. There's symbolism. Some people hold these movies in very high regard, and this is an interesting accomplishment, despite an ending that I understand could be.
And this came out like in 1970 or 73.
There's a lot of backstory to this stuff. Before we can apply the. He and the Jodorowsky and the distributor for this movie had a big falling out, and so the distributor just sat on El Topo and Holy Mountain for years, like 30 years.
Wow.
And so for a long time, you might pop up as a midnight movie. They were occasionally a print would show up somewhere like in New York or somewhere, but eventually they re-released them. And they toured them, and actually it was a big deal. They showed Holy Mountain was shown in the theater for the first time in 2010 in Austin.
Wow.
Of all places. And it was a double bill with El Topo at the Alamo Draft House.
Of course.
Shockingly, I know. But they were essentially unavailable. The guy was so pissed with Jodorowsky that he sat on these movies for years and wouldn't let anybody license them. Do anything with them. They were basically unavailable. Now, in the last couple of years, they've come out. You get them on Blu-ray and all that stuff.
Yeah, and so you can watch it with your kids.
You watch it with your kids, and that'll raise a lot of questions.
Yes.
Some
questions they'll just have to ask their mother.
They have to ask a lot of people because there's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But the other thing was he also made a movie called Tusk, which is like a kid's movie that he's disavowed and said he's sorry he ever made it. It's a very straightforward children's
movie. I remember, wasn't there some controversy about them maybe actually killing an elephant or something like that during the movie or filming the death of an elephant?
There was some controversy amongst some of his other films where they say he might actually be killing animals in his films.
Yeah.
Like when they blow, when they have the, we'll get to this, when they have the Aztec Spanish battle. I think maybe they blew up some frogs. I don't know that for sure, but they might have.
They might have beavers and butthead.
But he also was supposed to, like we mentioned, direct Dune, and our Gonzo guy in absentia, John, kind of tipped me to that, and he said some of the people he had differently, like he was going to have Salvador Dali be in it, he was going to have Orson Welles be in it, he was going to have, he was basing a lot of his background stuff on an illustrator who would be like H.R. Geiger, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's, so he had this shot, and it sounded like it might have been a pretty good movie, but he was spending a lot of money to get, like, somebody was going to get paid millions of dollars an hour, and he just said, okay. It was, and his script was so big, it was going to be a 14-hour movie. Once you see one of his movies, you kind of get that. And then and anyway, he got taken away, David Lynch did, and there's basically a documentary, if you want to see it, called Jodorowsky's Dune. It came out in the last few years, and it's out there, and it's supposed to be pretty good. And if you like Dune, and if you have an interest in Jodorowsky, I think you probably have either seen it or you probably would like it. So that said.
Oh, also that said, he did his own biopic called The Dance of Reality. That's that came out last year, and he is now finally, I think, getting around to finishing kicking the can of doing an El Topo sequel. So,
well, now I'll say this: is an indication of the movie. I kind of want to see El Topo now. So.
Yeah, you should see El Topo.
So, because I've seen Holy Mountain twice now, and it grew on me a little bit. I can't say the first time I was just like, "What the hell is this?" I mean, I went into it cold, no background.
I kind of did too for Holy Mountain. I knew who did it, but I didn't read anything up about it
I had no concept of El Topo or anything like that going in. The closest thing I can think of where I've had a similar experience is any Harmony Korine movie. If you've seen any of those, they will leave. Those are disturbing more so than these are.
I've been seeing some Gonzo suggestions about unwatchable movies and things like that, and movies you can only see once, and I'm a little scared, to be honest.
I was going to say that there have been some things popping amongst our fan base that said, here's these, I think in this case it was horror movies you can only watch once and you never want to see again, or you should question whether you should see them at all, and it sounds like a challenge, but they're, based on some of the descriptions, I don't know if I want to see some of them.
Yeah, that's the kind of, I'm like,
you don't need to load in the old brain camera.
Yeah. Let's get to this movie, because I think it's okay watching again.
Speaking of loading the brain camera.
Yeah, I know. So, it's been such a serious discussion. I just want to say that this movie opened up with some boobs.
There's boobs and balls and wiener. And
you said wiener.
Schwanzes and.
And instead of like in the vagina, they say put it in their sex.
In their sex? That's a little.
Exactly.
And actually, I'm pretty sure they used a slide whistle in this movie somewhere. But
yeah.
I would be disappointed if they didn't. So the movie just opened, goes right into the nudity, just right out of the gate. Should we just try to do a real simple plot and then talk about some of the scenes? How do we want to do this?
How big a notes do you have?
I've seen it twice. I got a pretty good grasp on it.
I have a bulleted list of notes.
If you do you want to do a rapid bullet list?
Maybe. I would say let's do the bullet list and then interject with like stuff to explain. Okay. Because I don't know how many I have here, and I did kind of stop toward the end.
Yeah.
But I kind of kept track of what was going on, and it's only 103 bulleted items. For those of you who are counting, I had way more for Shanghai Surprise.
Oh,
and actually, now before we get started, there's a connection between that movie and this movie. As you read on some of the IMDb trivia,
I did. I know.
George Harrison was in talk to play the lead role in this movie, but
which would have,
they couldn't get him to agree to it because he didn't want to have his asshole washed on camera. Yeah. So just think about that, right? Think Shanghai Surprise,
and
then George Harrison's butthole being washed on screen.
And they think that they did find someone who agreed to have their asshole washed on screen.
Well, we'll get to that here in a second. Yeah. All right, so it's a holy opening.
Yep.
Wash some faces.
Yep.
Boobs.
Yep.
Haircut.
Yep. An old school haircut.
Old school shaver. I've never seen that shaver before.
It's what they use before they plug in, you know, when you get the, you go to the marine, I would call it a buzz cut, and they use the electric clippers. This was the manual clipper.
Yeah, those things were just crazy looking.
And it was legit head shaving, so. I mean, they edited, they didn't go, you know, piece by piece, but they really did shave these girls' heads, so.
Well, and then I said, hey, lady, don't look at the camera, because one of the ladies, well, they turned her head, she looked right at the camera, it's like, don't.
Well, when you're making this kind of film, you can't, you know. Got to take who's willing to do it.
Yeah, I guess it's part of Alejandro's theater days, because he used to be like a puppeteer and a pantomime, right? He went to clown college? No.
Yeah, it was circus.
He was in the circus, so.
He has a circus background, and.
He's kind of Cirque du Soleil now that I think about it.
It's very performance arty. It's very.
Because he's Chilean and he's French, so. He's way into the French thing, so.
Yeah, there you go. So, heads, don't look at the camera. And,
yeah, and then cut to, well, Flyface just pissed his pants. Yeah, so the guy was all up in flies. I don't know how they got all the flies on him.
They probably paint a little something on his face, but there's a guy laying in the street, got flies all over his face, makes you kind of itch. And he's pissing, and he's pooped himself as well.
Yeah, and was he just, like, drunk, or I don't know what...
I think he's supposed to be a ne'er-do-well, drunk, thief kind of guy, and he just had a long night.
Yeah, I was more interested in how he ended up that way, because he got hot tarot up. I don't know what the hell that means.
Hot tarot up?
Yeah.
There's a scene where they use the tarot cards to kind of release his inner spirit a little
bit. Yeah, but that was later on.
Hot tarot.
I probably typed that wrong. Hot tied up. He got tied. I know he got tied up.
He did. He did get tied up.
And I wrote down, here we go. Nub man to the rescue.
Oh, yeah. He got put up on a little crucifix. And they tied him up to a crucifix, and they started whipping rocks at him.
Yeah, I said fig leaves. Well, okay, because there were kids running around. I guess you had to be okay, but they kind of forgot about that later on in the movie.
Sometimes kids had fig leaves. Sometimes kids just had
their. There's just get used to the nudity, folks. Yeah,
is it more as like a tribal nudity?
It's not like
it's not salacious.
It's not like Roman Catholic.
It's not Roman Catholic.
Well. Well,
there we go.
And then I wrote, well, getting hit in the head works to wake up. Yeah, because they're pelting him with all these rocks, and then one rock hit him on the head, and it woke his ass up.
And he was wide awake, too.
So, and this is what I was saying before I even read it, because, you know, breaking our fourth wall, we kind of read and research before we do a movie, right? And the George Harrison thing, like I mentioned, was on the IMDb trivia, but... I didn't read all up on that until after the movie, so...
I try to watch it and then go look up stuff.
Yeah, so here coming in a big old bulleted list number 12, is that George Harrison? I was like, okay, and I can see now that they really wanted to make somebody to look like George Harrison.
Well, the look would fit. He was supposed to be somebody that looked like Jesus, and George Harrison kind of looks like...
George Harrison looks like a pissed off Jesus. An angry Jesus.
A pissed off Beetle Jesus.
Yeah. So he's sitting there with numb man eyes, and then the next note, smoke some bud then, okay? So.
His little amputee friend whips out a big old reefer joint.
Yeah. So the next question I have are pictures of shots. So, like, there's these gas mask rejects from people at the wall shooting people in the street, and tourists taking pictures of it. and
this is one of the scenes that made me laugh a little bit.
Yeah, like one of the soldiers just takes a guy and starts raping her, and then the other guy gets his picture with taken with it.
Yeah, well, I would know. She seemed to go along with it. He just kind of, he did force himself on her, but she's like, oh, hey, look, I'm in the act. And, like, her husband's taking pictures of it.
Yeah.
Or tourists are taking pictures. They didn't quite establish that. It was my own backstory I had.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I think that's the thing about it is, like, you get curious about all the backstories. Are they in China with dog meat? And that was what they were, there were people marching down the street with, like, what looked like crucifixes of animals, right?
I think those were dogs or sheep, one of the two. I'm not sure. Again, I thought they were dogs, so that's what my mind went to.
And then next, I put Yellow Submarine question mark.
Yeah, a little feel of that.
And that's where like the nun man and from here on out, I'm calling him J guy, not the Jesus guy, just J guy. So not J Giles either, because his band's pretty cool. Oh. But he was talking to the Traveling Red Show guys, and they looked like they could be characters from the Beatles' Yellow Submarine.
Oh, yes.
So, at any rate, he talks in to hang out with them, and those guys are doing the Toads Conquering Mexico thing, right?
Yeah, Toads and a little playset set up that's like Aztec Mexico. And then the Spaniards come, and they are frogs. They're like lizards are the Mayans or the Aztecs, and then here come the Spaniards, and they're frogs, and they kind of really don't do much, and all of a sudden they blow up the whole thing.
Do you think those frogs are overexcited because they had just eaten some Spanish flies?
They could have been. Or maybe they ate the flies of that guy's face.
That's true.
But this is another spot where you have to... There's a lot of spots in the movie you have to kind of stop and... You might even be pulled out of the movie a little bit, where you're
you
like,
kinda, I think that's part of the. I think that's a point, right? I think that's.
Yeah, so you're kind of like, well, did he really blow those frogs up? Because it looks like maybe he did.
Well, and then they had all that fake blood. It's like they had all this fake blood flowing down the little miniature pyramids, and
like a frog was getting sacrificed, kind of on top, and but then then the whole Aztec world or. Mayan world started blowing up, and I'm probably putting the wrong tribe in the wrong part of Mexico when it's probably a South American tribe. I think it's Aztec, but anyway.
I have
little lizard bodies flying all over the place.
Well, they done blowed up.
They got done blowed up.
And then I did the Jesus thing. So, like, they're supposed to be nuns, but they also were walking the corner. So they're all prayed in church, and they came out, and they picked up men. And, of course, the old guy goes after the 12-year-old girl that's with the rest of the Nightwalkers, the nun Nightwalkers, which reminded me of that one skit from Saturday Night Live with Dieter, where it's like, poor nun.
Oh, Sprockets.
Yeah, with Dieter.
This is spot on Sprockets when we dance.
Yeah, so...
Then they and how does the man pay the young girl?
With his glass eye.
His glass eye, which is kind of rough to watch a little bit.
Yeah.
Not horrible or anything, but it's like he really whips out. He's really wearing a glass eye, and he really, you know.
Yeah. So I have because it's like and then he drank. Yeah. Meanwhile, the J guy. Drank some liquid or something in some other building, and I said it's naked big time. And then I put body cast. Interesting, because they put this goop out from this dried up dead pig, and they covered his body with it, and he passed out, and they made a body cast out of him for some reason. And then he like wakes up, and then there's like it's the same cast of him, but there's like millions of them, pretty much, right?
They basically used him as a model to make a bunch of Jesus crucifixes to sell, and he has a shit fit and destroys all of them.
They're all stacked on like a stockpile of potatoes.
Everybody apparently sleeps and lives on piles of potatoes.
Yeah, I put that and taters, and then that's where it says, "Don't worship the guy who sells body and stuff." Because he, like, that's what was happening, right? He pulls under the covers, and this blind bishop guy is spooning a legitimate statue of Jesus Christ.
And he gets all mad.
Yeah, he kicks him out with the mache.
Yeah, that's right. He chases him off out of the space, and he's like, don't you... It's in English, but it kind of trails off.
Well,
like,
and that's one thing to point out, right? In some parts it's English, and other they're just like, meh, 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 meh.
He actually cut 44 minutes of dialogue from this, so...
Oh, he was just more like, I'd just rather have them bark at each other.
Well, he really prefers not to have any real dialogue. He didn't want to have any dialogue in the movie, but he realized there had some, with aside from the voiceovers of all the people on the planets, which were good too.
So yeah, then we go into but I'm Nightwalkers, yeah, and boobs. Of course,
that boobs out. Yeah, so.
Of course, the guy who go for it, the nun whore, and then in all caps, I believe it, as in EYD.
I believe it.
So yeah, they run into each other.
I gotta have that more at the ready.
So they run into each other because the statue can't go in the church. So of course, J-Guy eats the fake J-Guy face.
Yep.
And then sends it off on balloons.
Yep. Which again looked legit. So.
And one of the horn nuns had a orangutan as a friend, and they had a connect. She had a connection with J-Guy.
And follows him.
Yeah.
She and the orangutan or chimp or whatever it was follow him around.
So I have a Jesus guy rides up to the top.
There's a tower where they're dropping, somebody's lowering like money and food and stuff out of this giant tower down to the people.
Yeah.
And he jumps on the hook and goes up to the top of this giant tower.
Yeah, and so in the rainbow tunnel, there's a tatted lady and some other dude in a hat.
Yep.
So J-Guy lost a dude because they fought, and they cut some big old squid tumor out of him.
He had a big old nasty clay lump on his neck, and they stabbed it, and blue goo came out, and then he was better.
Yeah.
The guy in the black hat, he's now in a white hat. He was the guy. In the very beginning, there's a guy in a black hat, and then now he's in the white hat, and he's basically telling this guy he's going to enlighten him. He has him, gives him a knife and has him attack him, and then he does this whole thing where he cuts the tumor off, and he feels better, and he doesn't want to attack him.
And then it's baptism time, all washing hands and feet. So they wash him in this bath with like a baby hippopotamus in it.
They wash hands, feet, and...
And butthole, sheesh.
And we're not kidding.
He really gets in his ass.
I think it was actually the weird African lady or darker Mexican lady who kind of really gets in there.
Yeah, no, Ian. I mean, all the Klingons are gone and everything.
This movie's not scared about putting things in people's butts.
Yes. So that said, and shit bucket. Time to build the pooper drive.
So, in keeping with theme of one of our other movies, the guy just gives him this glass bowl and
he sits in it and he shits in it.
He just immediately like sits on it and takes a dump in it. In the little trio of perfectly formed logs.
I gotta remind myself of that glass bowl bucket looks like, just in case I go over to like a friend's house and I see them having one of it. Because I don't want to be served food in that. I don't think so.
I know what you do with those things.
You poop in them.
And you turn them into gold.
Can I have some gold?
So he poops in the glass jar, and then they put him in this big bubble.
Yeah, and he's sweating, but he's like sweating like milk or something.
And he's sweating into a bowl that goes to the outside. So.
Yeah.
And he looks pretty hot. I mean, he looks like... It may be getting a little too much for him, and he's just dumping out liquid.
So he's getting cooked, and they make sure to burn the poo. Sweating bullets.
He gets his sweat out, the guy pours it, he puts it into a giant heart, and then he pours the one out of the one ventricle, the sweat, this thing, and then he uses that to, like, boil the poop. And it kind of goes, like, poop to ash to diamonds to rocks to gold.
Yeah. In case anybody needed to know that if you start to see some poops. If you smell some poop and you look on the ground and it's like diamonds, just wait a little bit longer and you might have gold in front of you.
Yeah, and you do have to cook it. I don't know what temperature and how long, but get yourself a glass jar, some sweat, some heat and thyme, and eventually you'll make some gold poop.
So he shit gold because gold is shit symbology.
Yeah, he said you are excrement, but you could be gold.
Yeah. So then, not a fan of himself, but he's shit gold. It's shit gold.
He did shit gold. Yeah.
Now they're dressing the same all of a sudden. So the disciple is now wearing the same goofy kung.
He's wearing
Mortal Kombat kind of hat.
Yeah, he's wearing a brown getup, and the teacher's now wearing. He's back to the black gear. And there's a little weird symbol. That they wear. So he's like an apprentice.
So that's where they get in the room and they read the...
Kind of like Star Wars, but...
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, he looks like Cad Bane more than anybody
else.
He
does look like Cad Bane had an apprentice who pooped gold.
Yes. So...
and if that's the Cad Bane reference...
welcome to our nightmare.
Welcome to our world. Good for you.
He broke a stone in tarot cards and WoW. So he pulled out this like ball and they're doing tarot card stuff. So I said, okay, guy's a disciple now. And this is where like I guess act one is over.
Yeah. The kind of you've taken the street thief and he's now in the temple and they've kind of figured out a couple things. So they take him in the room. And they take him in the room of people.
Yeah. So they spin it around, and they're all like the cast, like the paper mache mess thingy, like the Jay guy had earlier, and the disciple guy kind of explains that these are all like the richest people in the world, and they're gonna be immortal, and they're gonna be enlightened, and we're all gonna go search for immortality. So. Here they are, and they spend all this time kind of, like, going over each of these people, and they all represent, like, the planet, right? Like, Venus, Mars, Earth, Mercury, whatever. Maybe not Earth. I don't think Earth was represented.
There's Mars and Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto, Uranus. Yeah, Uranus.
So they spend a good chunk of the movie now kind of explaining all these people.
They get away from the original street guy, and you get the little backstory on each of these people who are on this little spinning wall. And they alternate in the shots. Sometimes they're paper mache, sometimes they're real people.
So first up, okay, so Venus guy talks about his work and his dad-wife mummy thing, right?
Yes.
So, like, the old guy, like, the guy talks about how his dad ran the company, and they make everything all nice and lovely and all fluffy and cute and all pleasure stuff, right? And they talk about the dad being like a blind, deaf, dumb, mute who makes his decisions by sticking his fingers into his dead wife's mummified body into her twat, pretty much, and smelling it. And if it's moist, it's yes, and if it's dry, it's no. And that's how...
And there you go. And that's if that scene bothers you, then this movie's not for you.
Yeah. Although, I mean, if you made it past the poop jar, you might as well just finish the thing.
When I was actually watching this for the first time, and I saw the poop jar, obviously is a tipping point,
a shitting point.
It's a shitting point, and I said, "Oh my god, I can't believe you're having me watch this." And he said, "Hey, you just made it past." He said, "You made it past the shit turning to gold." He's like, "Really? Do you have much more to worry about?" And I was like, "Fair point."
Yeah.
And I'll bring it up when we get there. But there was another point when my first time I watched it that weirded me out way more. So.
Yeah. So. And by this point, I'm just numb to everything. So.
You're just like, "What? All right. What's next? Let's."
So they tell a small little story of this lady who ends up getting to sleep with this guy because this guy slept with every lady that worked in the factory. And has birthed plenty of babies out of it, right?
They, like, immediately are pregnant.
Yeah.
As soon as...
So, like, in this instance, this is kind of talked about, the lady, like, grabs, like, oatmeal from her crotch and eats it, and it's obviously this dude's, like, jism, but it's, like, symbolic, because I guess oatmeal has as much protein? I don't know.
I don't get every symbol in this movie.
Yeah. So, artificial faces for life and electric cadavers, that's what they market, they make. So you can get any face you want for life. And then you can also have special burials where your bodies can be motorized.
And you can take part in your own funeral. So if you showgirl, you can do like a striptease from your coffin. If you're a priest, you can do sign of the cross. And you can give people like a kiss goodbye. Weird concept, but far from the weirdest.
Yeah, so next up is Mars. Mars makes weapons. And that's about it. Armless takes the wrong drugs, and the armless guy, like, they also make drugs to make people crazy, and they find this other, like, midget armless mute guy. And they show a scene of him kicking this dummy because he's so angry and stuff. And it was kind of, that was kind of disturbing.
Yep. And is that the one where they make, no, that's the next one. Sorry. There's one where they make weapons. There's one where they make toys that are weapons.
Yeah.
And they're based off of war. And
yeah. So this one, it's pretty straightforward. You know, a big, sexy 60s boot counterculture weapons. Right, so it's like, it's cool and rock and roll to have weapons, you know, because we're anti-establishment.
It's a guitar and an M16 and a platform heel, psychedelic painted handgun, and they make religious guns. They have like
they have a not a yarmulke, but a menorah that's loaded that you can shoot, and she shows it off.
And they have a like a Dirty Harry gun with a crucifix on the edge of it.
So.
Jesus gun.
So after that, we move on to Jupiter. Jupiter is a boring couple, or a guy is some typical guy at company, right? Wrong. He has a mistress that he goes to pick up, and they do it. They do the nasty dance in the limo on the way, right? So I'm like, okay, here's the next note. Art factory, gotcha. And then commercialized art, is he going to get shit on?
let me elaborate on that piece. He is like a wealthy art, I would say producer, because he has like a factory where he makes art for everybody. Most of which the art involves somebody's naked person. Part of his art is that he can go around and just molest whoever is the artwork. So he's going through, and like there's like these painted bodies that are half in and half out, and he kind of like fondles them, and at one point he gets on his back and he slides into this box, and there's just a pair of butt cheeks sticking out.
Yeah. So he goes underneath, right? And I'm like, he's gonna get shit on.
Based on where this movie's been going, you're like, oh my god, they're gonna crap on him. He doesn't, but what does happen?
There's something really close. He slaps the ass cheeks and he sticks his finger up the ass.
Boop. And he kind of makes that noise. He's like, boop. And he totally does like a dipstick oil check on the whoever's butt that was. So, and I'm trying to remember that when he sells art, he does that, and they kind of cut away. I think that's the end of his thing.
Yeah,
he has the giant. He has the giant tape recorder that they have sex with.
Yeah, no, it's like who's the better leveler, and you use this machine to determine, right? So the guy takes this like, giant pole thingy and tries to stick it in this machine. Nothing happens, right? The lady...
He gets to take a shot at it. The chauffeur's not a good lover, is what they say.
And then the lady takes it, and she drops naked, and she works her magic, and then a, like, tape machine. And the tape machine, let's say, is about, like, 6 feet by 6 feet. You know, it's pretty big.
It's like a big... It'd be like having sex with a closet.
And this pole is pretty huge, too. But she works her magic. It grows double in size. Its hair grows. It does all this work, which actually I was really impressed with the mechanics of the how it grows. I thought it was pretty cool how like they folded out, things moved, and then like other gears and stuff work. I was actually pretty impressed with that.
There's some impressive
artwork. And then they shat all over it by having the pole like spit out this goop that's supposed to be symbolic to jism again. And then there's like a baby tape machine there.
And all of a sudden there's a little baby tape machine that's flipping out and the big tape machine is rocking.
This is where I begin to think that he's like not taking this too seriously. Like, it's a journey, but I mean, that's goofy. Like, there's nothing very scary or horror filled with this.
No, I think it's more, like you said before, I think it really is supposed to be a satire of some kind. And maybe this is his sense of humor, is to have a tape machine.
Birth another tape machine through the process that his life, that we is an animal know it, right? So, this is where I was like, he's not really fucking thinking this that seriously, is he? You know?
What's up, man? Tape machine guy.
Yeah. Tape machine. Electric rod and mechanical vagina. Crazy orgasm machine for baby machine. All right, and then next we get was like what you said earlier, right? Saturn is child customers, right?
Yes.
So clown lady turns to cold bitch and makes war toys. Government is the client and makes politics.
And they decide, they get to where they breed kids to hate whoever they're supposed to hate in about 15 years.
Yeah, which so, makes, actually, I mean, it's...
A good
it's
point.
It's satire. It points out like how like propaganda works and how it works at such a young age.
And I would note again, these kids are all naked again.
They really hate Peru.
They really, and he hates Peru. Well, at least in the movie he does. I think he probably doesn't. But they make the enemy be Peru, and then the kids, if they're not angry enough, then there's some old guy down in the basement who cranks up the little heat, and it makes the kid, there's one kid just flip out and fall on the ground and cry.
Yikes, they made Captain!
Okay. Oh, yeah, they did a comic campaign. This was pretty interesting. They created a comic book, and they said, hey, it's Captain, and he's going to fight the Peruvian monster. And
it's exactly like Captain America, and...
And it's just like, oh, the Red Menace, you know?
Red Skull.
Red Skull, communism. That was a good little zing.
Well, I don't know if it's a zing as much. I think it just, I don't think it really shames as much as it points out the mechanisms of that, right? Like,
that's what
I don't think it, like, because... Like, going back to the art, there's, like, commercial art people, right? They make art to be mass-produced, right? So he just kind of points out, you know, taking it to an extreme to point out the methodology involved behind it, right? So that's where it's, like, for this kid stuff, is like, that's what they're doing. That's what he's doing. I don't know if he's, like, pooping all over. I think he's just kind of... I think he's just kind of fucking around with it.
I think he's doing a little bit of pooping.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. I'll give you that.
Maybe not full glass bowl, but a little bit.
It's certainly not going to be making any gold out of it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a gold.
I don't think you have that kind of yield for this squat.
No.
So, plainly see, he's like, he's just pointing out this is how people do that. You know, and it's like it helps take you out, and I think that's the theme we're getting to here, is it takes you out of like that reality and he points out, you know, giving you a good snapshot above of what the normal everyday things that are going on right now and how it works, you know. I mean, you can see that today with how influence, we'll get to the media here in a second, and the finance guy too, you get it twisted on its side so much and surreal and all messed up that it helps you identify it, and then it takes you to a place where you can, like, kind of draw a comparison of what's actually going on today. And I don't know, besides just perspective, I don't know what else he's trying to do except just fucking around. But, I mean...
Only he probably really knows. And one of the women of these disciple people is actually his wife.
Good for her.
All right,
long diatribe off, right? Like, so, like, Captain was cool. I like that. Conditioning Tims, and then I had to write this down word for word because that was next. It was, my name is Berg. My planet is Uranus. Uranus is just goofy. He's a goofy guy. And I say, green figs work. And then I was like, Uranus is about family mommy issues.
Oh yeah, that was a crazy
one. I don't know if that was his mom or not, or whether or not he was just sleeping with her.
I think it was supposed to, I don't know if they, I think that it was supposed to be ambiguous, but she had like a green merkin on.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
So like,
and, like speaking him with a skeleton hand, and
there's like a mechanical horse there that looked like he was on Pee Wee's Playhouse.
And the lady kind of humps it.
And then she takes her clothes off. And I'm glad, that's why I said green figs work, because I didn't want to see that lady's vahoo-ha.
And then later on, she has like green merkin over it.
Yeah.
Or she has really messed up pube hair.
So, snake socks. So they knitted a sock for the snake.
There's something in there. I don't quite get it, but there's something.
No, it's a giant python. They knitted a sock for a python.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. I just don't get what the symbolism is in that case. Snake in a sock. There's something. There's probably something in there.
So, and then and then I have, financial advisor to president and shitty-ass money handler. Gotcha. So,
he then pushes buttons and flips switches, and he has a little report that kicks out, and then the president buzzes him and makes him come in and give him the report.
Well, the lady asks him if he's done the report. He's like, no, I haven't got to it yet.
I'm too busy getting spanked with skeletons in hand.
And then they call for the report, and he flips his lid, and that's where they, because then he's like, he just throws some shit together, which I think is Alejandro's, like, wave at economists across the nation and across the world. It's like, you guys are just fucking throwing money. You're just throwing shit against the wall.
And he's like, oh, hey, President, we got to, in order to save our economy, we have to kill 4 million people. And so the guy's like, okay.
And he picks up the phone and says, start gassing him.
He's like, use the gas, movie, like, damn discos and the gas restaurants. And it'd make a big, they kind of belabor that a little bit.
Yeah, so that's the point. It's like some guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing to make a decision on 4 million people's lives because he's a money guy. So... that I got that loud and clear.
There you go.
So Axon is Neptune, and he's the chief of police.
He's the chief of some kind of police.
Yeah, so some badass guy or something with a large-ass gun.
He has a big gun, except it turns out that his biggest thing is that he just chops off a guy's balls.
And penis. I thought it was penis. And penis cutting.
Right. Yeah, maybe both. I think he just put a little bag over the penis to, I don't know what, so it wouldn't see its balls getting cut off.
And I guess you meant that it's police time.
But the guy who's getting his balls chopped off apparently did it voluntarily.
Yeah, and he's the last of 1,000.
He finally completed his set of 1,000 scrotums in his glass jars in his wall.
Cock in a jar, woohoo!
Yeah, so, and then I guess that gets entitled him to be like a hero.
And murder candy by kids.
and then the little camp of guys without balls runs through the town, and they start killing everybody.
Yeah, and that's where they're pulling out, instead of guts, they're pulling out birds and paper mache.
And ribbons.
And like pillow stuffing. That's why I said murder candy, because I think they're like eating like candy. But they pulled, like this one guy had like it was like a... candied cherries or whatever, you know.
Spitting
them out of his mouth, and it was supposed to look like it was like guts and stuff. So,
and sometimes they didn't even like hide it; they just would be like, "There's like two metal, there's two tubes next to their head, and they're just squirting out blood or bleeding."
Yeah, that was funny. Well, yeah, because like some lady had like brass like hoses above her that was squirting out red, and then like there's some other like lady on the ground, and then that's where the blood was like coming out of her ears and stuff.
This is where they had the sausages laying on top of a guy who's fully clothed, and it's kind of like representing his guts.
Yeah. So that was
they were definitely sausages. It wasn't even close. It wasn't supposed to be.
Boy, this sausage, dicka, the bears. So Luke does Pluto, and he does architecture.
I do architecture. They all kind of have the same cadence when they talk.
Yeah, this one freaked me out because I'm like. First, he had, like, the caskets in the city, right? And, it was the most economically, like...
that was awesome, actually.
It was just a giant casket that they lived in, and they cranked down, and they put a blanket. It's, like, it's the most profitable type of public housing and stuff. But then, like, he says, it also conditions them to eat their food at the factory. And I was like, yikes.
Yeah,
because it's like, shit, I eat lunch at work too. God damn it.
Well, the whole thing is, it's like we made a mistake when we built worker housing. We gave them plumbing and.
Yeah. So. So that's about it, right? That's all the planets, pretty much. Right.
Yeah, I think that was all. I think he was the last one.
Yeah. So the planets show up at the Red Tower, right? They helicopter down, and I guess that's trivia too. They didn't have a permit. They had some other guy dress up as a policeman stopping traffic. And once they got done with the shot, everybody fucking took off. So,
good old Jurassic.
So, at 1 hour and 16 minutes into this movie, I put as a note, we get the Holy Mountain. We finally get them to talk about the Holy Mountain.
Finally talk about the Holy Mountain and get these people on a quest.
They were on Godzilla time in this movie.
Well, you know, maybe he was inspired by some of that. But, yes, they finally get around to the titular theme, which is there's this, every religion has their holy mountains, and we're going to go to this one and find these immortals sitting around this little table, and I know how to get there, and let's all pack up and go.
Yeah, so Lupin gets hatched for immortality. Go to the holy mountain and get the immortality. All the planet people with Jake Eye and Grace Jones will be one collective.
Yep.
So they burn all their shit, but then like they burn all their money, and then the Jay guy like takes some, and they call him out on it.
And they make him burn his money, and then they burn the effigies of themselves.
Yeah, that was kind of freaky.
They burn the effigies of themselves, and then they I can't remember what they do. They kind of go through these little rebirth processes where they kind of.
Well, and I had a question here. I says, why does the privilege get to sacrifice and attain immortality, right? Like, yeah. Because they had all this giant money and that they were pretty much like the gang bosses for all these different, like, cogs of society, right? I was like, why the fuck were they the ones that get to go on this holiest of religious retreats? I think that's why they threw the Jesus guy in there too, right? Because that's almost like saying that that religion in and of itself is like a cog, and that the J guy, the Jesus guy himself, was an elite of that kind of classification. So,
well, they could have had. I think it was just supposed to be that they were all thieves of some sort.
Yeah. He just okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
They were all thieves, and they all had to be redeemed. And the way they were going to be redeemed was to give up everything they were and go to this holy mountain.
And go for immortality. Maybe, and we find out, maybe immortality is different than what they were expecting. So,
but they start hoofing it.
Yeah. J-Guy takes a little anyway because he has none. But, yeah, because they destroy other self-images. Buddhism now with tarots. What a bunch of jumbled shit. He borrows a lot from, like, tarot cards and Buddhism and all this other stuff, and he studies all that shit, and he, like, has his own religion.
He dips into all of that. You got alchemy, you've got Christianity, you've got Buddhism, everything.
There is a, we'll get to that here shortly. So now they are monks and are going to the mountain, right? And it's like, I need a Led Zeppelin song here. but Siddhartha, this ain't. This is where it evokes Siddhartha. I read the book by Hermann Hesse, and I also saw the movie that came out. I think it was in the 70s. And for a good year or so, I was really all about that. I loved Siddhartha. And Siddhartha is like the story of the guy who, the Sakyamuni, like Buddha guy. That tells a story of this one guy that goes through all these different trials of finding happiness and life and what the meaning of life is. And it's all around the time where the Buddha was around, and it tells this journey. And a lot of it is a lot like how these seven planets were represented, where it was like this guy like ended up being really rich and he was still unhappy. And then he like ended up being either a great fighter, or no, he ended up being a great lover and he still wasn't very happy. And it was all these different trials that he ended up not being happy at the end of them. Seemed a lot like all these different planets and what they were representing. But I think, and some of the trivia mentioned that they were based on other things. But I saw a good, pretty decent connection between this and Siddhartha. So, but I said Siddhartha, this ain't right.
No, this is
so. Man, this is probably the most serious fucking episode that we've ever had. Anyway.
It was actually real honest to God symbolism in this movie.
Yeah,
so.
That's. I mean, it's so refreshing. I'd rather watch that than see a lady swallow an eyeball after it got shotgunned off a head. So.
I'm never going to live that one
down. No, you're not. That physically made me sick. Which, I guess if you want to think about it, they got their job done on that one.
Anyway,
healing question mark, cup stuff question mark?
Yeah, that's kind of a weird cupping. They meet little people along the road who kind of help them.
Yeah, so one guy didn't like stinky feet, and he
he got his legs
worked his bones. And they're like, okay, you're going to see how much you like stinky feet after we heal you and all your broken bones, right?
And so he straightens them out.
Yeah, so journey people are doing a bunch of shit. So one died, and that's the opportunity for the death card?
They said one died, but I think it was more symbolic because they all just look in the pool and see themselves. So there's a lot of them burying themselves.
And they gave Alejandro to give his I guess take on death and nothingness and the journey of life and how you're temporarily borrowing your body and all this other bullshit. I was like,
alone.
Yeah, I know. It's like fucking stop this. So.
The only true thing is nothingness, and don't be scared. It's just that's what it should be, and that's your everything is nothingness, and blah blah. You know, very existential.
Yeah, very very late 60s Beatles.
Yes.
So now it's time to shoot down religious leaders. Kerplow. What happened there?
Shoot down religious leaders. I don't try to remember.
J guy, right? They all get ready to go on the boat. These children come, and this one other guy, I forgot what the other guy was doing, or the lady and the monkey.
Yes.
And he decides to pose like Jesus. He's gonna turn bread and like he's gonna make bread appear.
He's gonna do fish and loaves, basically.
Yeah, and then like the alchemist guy, he's like, see what could happen with performing this miracle. And then it's like they show the little kids going to get him. And then all of a sudden, all these bigger, older kids come up and beat the crap out of little kids and take their bread.
And then big kids come to beat up the bigger kids.
Yeah.
And he's, you want to perform a miracle like Christ?
And he's like, and he jumps right onto the boat.
Slaps him in the back. Kid basically like slap, kind of skull slaps him.
Yeah.
And then makes him get on the boat.
Yeah. So, J-Guy tossed the armless midget of his past off the boat.
Who apparently was a figment of his imagination.
Yeah. It's probably why he was getting high with him, right?
Yeah, he's really happy to see him when he sees him pop out in the boat. He kind of births him out of his groin. And then the guy's like, pitch him overboard. And he's like, but he's going to drown. He's like, pitch him overboard.
It's your past. Yeah.
Your past. You must throw him overboard.
So they land and party at the Pantheon bar, apparently. I guess this is something about Rome or whatever. And they just see some crazy shit, and they're like...
Well, those are all disgraced people who tried to come to Holy Mountain, but they'd rather stay at the bar.
They didn't complete their journey or something, and they're just like...
And the guy really wants them to stay at the bar, but they're pure, and they're wearing their little tracksuits, and their heads are all shaved.
I guess it's
so.
Supposed to talk about, like, being resolute and not let...
Staying true to your journey or whatever.
Keeping your eye on a prize. And then we had Fly Hands... And they're like, this guy's full of crap. And then, like, they had the one really strong mountain climber guy who could only...
He can only move horizontally.
Yeah, he couldn't move up. But he says he's the greatest climber in the world. So I guess it's also, like, make sure you're making progress instead of just being the best of where you are, you know? So, anyway.
And they avoid all the temptations of the bars. And they keep moving. And it pisses off the one guy. He's like, he could be famous.
Yeah, so the Pantheon bar was goofy, and then Grace Jones bangs the mountain.
She loses faith halfway. They're scaling a mountain pretty far straight up, and they're naked, aren't they?
No. They're wearing their clothes.
They're wearing their climbing gear. Strangely enough, most people are naked in this movie all the time. And she loses her faith, and they're like, you must love the earth or the mountain or whatever, and she just dry humps the mountain.
Yeah, so somehow they get there. And now we get to some fun stuff.
Holy crap.
So, planet guys are going through trials. So, like, each planet guy has something as, like, exposing their downsides. And then that's where it gets really fucked up.
Because you get to the part where they're on the haunted most. So.
I think I know what it is, too. I don't remember all of them, because they're all, like, we're going to take the one downside to your character and expose it in some symbolic way, right?
Yeah.
So, like, one guy cut off his balls and he was laying upside down from a tree that had a bunch of dead, like, doves hanging from it. Yeah.
Yeah, cut off. And the lady, like, cut off his balls and hung them up in the tree.
I really don't remember a lot of them.
The one guy, the guy who's the cop,
He banged the drum and watched a dog fight. That's all he did.
And there was a real dog fight. It was kind of strange. Yeah. But he had bangs drum, watches a dog fight. Oh, another guy, at one point they have him cut his head off. The guy tells him to cut his head off, and it cuts the sheep's head off.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what happens. I don't remember what happens to every single one of them.
No, you know why? Here's the next note. Well, tiger nipple milk.
There we go. That was the one that haunts me. There's like a half woman, half dude, naked person with big saggy boobs and balls.
Hanging right
out. But then a shaved clean face and an unshaven face.
And he's old. He's got a beard on one side and clean on the other.
Clean the other, kind of wearing makeup. And then the one guy's vision, he's kind of in front of him. And then
he gets on his knees and he sucks at the teeth.
He sucks at teats, except that all of a sudden the teats turn into jaguar heads.
And then they start spurting milk out.
Yeah, so the guy's draggy, droopy teats turn into jaguar heads and they spurt milk.
And it's spraying in this guy's face and the old guy's laughing.
And here you go. And then, one of the other ladies. This is where it got... She has, like, this vision of a bull fucking a cow and then somebody sticking a fist in her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And white crud. I found the jaguar milk nipple things way more disturbing than that.
By far. Yeah. So this is the great secret, because the praying people were dummies. So here we get toward the end of the movie, right?
Yep. They finally get to the top of the mountain.
Get to the top of the mountain, but...
We should, but one guy gets dismissed before they get
because
there.
Because the lady follows. The lady in the chimpanzee follows.
Follows the original kind of poor thief guy.
It's like, and listen, like, you need to go. You already learned enough. Go have a life with this lady. She loves you. That's love. Stay with love.
And I'm leaving you. I leave you my tower and all.
Have all that stuff. And I guess that's kind of like symbolic of humanity and life. Because, like, if you think about it, the monkey is like we're like a descendant of the monkey, and the monkey is a descendant of us. So it's kind of like keep the chain going or whatever. I don't know. So he just like kicks him off the mountain.
Thief gets to have a wife and a life and go back down the mountain.
Yeah. So the other guys show up. And they're like, welcome to this table. And it's just a bunch of fucking dummies sitting at the table.
And they say, here are the immortals, and they find out they're all dummies, and they pull them off, and they all sit
down. Then Alejandro, like, makes funny faces, too, while he's sitting down and laughing his ass off.
Makes little moose ears.
I think this was, like, a joke on those people. I couldn't quite tell.
I think the idea was that the poor thief guy learned what he needed to learn. He gets to go back and have a life. And these people gave up everything they had and thought they were going to get immortality. And in the end, they got it.
They were mortals in reality. He spent all this time, and this is where I hated the end of this movie. They were mortals in reality. Okay, images, dreams, photos, and he breaks the fourth wall. So basically, he's like, we are actually all real people. And to achieve immortality is being part of images and being part of dreams and being part of photos, because photos last forever, or the idea of being in reality is what lasts forever, right? So then all of a sudden he's like, camera, pull back. And the camera pulls back, and it's the fucking filming crew.
Yeah.
And they're videotaped the filming crew, and it's like, listen, you are all in a movie right now, and this movie is going to be your immortality. Because of the images that you've shown in this movie and that you're a part of is what is your immortality will be. And he just totally breaks the fourth wall. I'm just like, you gotta be shitting me. I was like, goodbye to Holy Mountain. Real life awaits us.
Yes. The end.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of like a big fuck you to the people who watched the movie.
Maybe it was. You never know with this guy.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, that's the movie.
That is the movie, and wait, it's something. It is a movie.
I think if anything, it sparked so much conversation about like abstract things just by stepping through the plot. I think it's worth to not fast forward through it.
No, I wouldn't invest where you'll miss something bizarre.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just bizarre stuff around every corner in this one. It's a little light on music. It's a little light on dialogue. There's music. I shouldn't say there's not music. There's music. It's just kind of minimalist almost. Not quite, what are the guy's names? Glass.
David Glass.
Yeah, it's not quite David
Glass. Or not David Glass. He's the owner of the Royals.
Well, that's minimalist baseball.
Yeah. Philip Glass.
Philip Glass. There you go. Thank you. Anyway, there's some music and things. Just for the sake of including a little sound, here's some music. If I can get the sound to play here. Oh, hang on. I didn't hit the right button.
You know, this almost kind of reminds me what...
They're burning your money in this scene, but there's a little bit more here.
That is mine. He binds himself, and he forgets the great self.
There we go. This is looking pretty.
So speaking of music,
there you go. There's a little bit of some of the music in there.
It kind of reminds me of what Daft Punk tried to do in their Human. I think it's Human After. That's not Human After All. What's that Daft Punk movie? Not Interstellar 555.
I don't know it.
What is it? Electroma. Daft Punk's Electroma. This is a lot like what they try to do in Electroma, although it doesn't hold a candle to the symbolism here. I think the Daft Punk one was just kind of goofy. But not a lot of movies that do this.
No.
For that, it's definitely Do Not Fast Forward.
No, definitely not Do Not Fast Forward.
Would I recommend it to somebody?
Depends on the somebody.
It really does. I mean, if it's not like that list you alluded to earlier, it was like, you know, oh, I usually recommend one of these movies to a friend who says that nothing fazes them anymore movies. It's like, I'm not going to be that kind of asshole. But if I think somebody who's interesting in exploring topics that are not, you know, mainstream and not, like, linear in terms of storytelling and want to think a little bit more of the movies that they're watching, then I'd throw this their way. But that said, as for the Gonzo guys, I really can't wait till we get to another Billy Rice Cyrus movie.
We're going to go back to the lighter scene. This is probably a foray into fine film.
This movie is great, and I'm glad I watched it. I don't know if I revisit it, but it makes me think, and that's really cool.
It'd be something I would say, hey, you want to see something really weird?
Yeah.
Watch this.
That said, I do want to see... I'm glad that there are enough boobs in here to keep it light. It was kind of a satire. It was like...
There are some light points when he pokes the butt and everything. It's kind of
goofy,
kind of tongue in cheek, so to speak.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think of the movie?
I liked it more the second time since I was a little bit more prepared for the weirdness, which let me think about more of the stuff in the movie. And it is a skillfully made art movie.
So we can knock that off the genre checklist then.
Skillfully made art film, check. Now back to we need to go back and wallow in our roots a bit.
Maybe Disorderlies is the one. Who knows?
Got a little palate cleanser, I think, is what we
need. Yeah, I was thinking of Dr. Detroit during this movie, too, actually.
Yeah.
At any rate. Good pick.
Yeah, I think, and it was. We'll go for some more fun. I think this was not. This wasn't fun, but this was.
This is our most serious movie today.
This was a thinker.
Yeah, this was a Gonzo brain teaser.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think how we would even can describe it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, the naked tushy touch or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's but, it has to be experienced. It is an experience. Yeah. So, all right.
That's strange. I can't even. I don't even know how to begin to
go out. Like, what song do we go out on the on this?
Well, we can go out with.
I'm thinking maybe we just do "All My Rowdy Friends" by Hank Williams Jr. Because I have no fucking other clue.
That's good. Let me see here. Hang on. Do what I got. We're just gonna go to. I'm gonna open up my music, and I'm going to hit. Let me see. I'm gonna hit shuffle and see what comes up. And let's go click, 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 click.
We're breaking the fourth wall of podcasting.
Here we go.
Real life awaits you after this podcast.
I did three clicks and this is what came up. So this is what we're going out on. So let me just jump ahead a little bit.
I guess they were kind of going home, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. This actually kind of fits. So we're gonna
into a jar.
And it turned into gold.
Bloody nipples, candy toes. I can't believe those nuns were hoes.
Holy mountain. Oh. I'm gonna blow up some frogs when they act like Indians.
Nipple milk, tiger milk shooting into your own face. I don't know what the hell's going on here. Holy mountain.
Let's break the fourth wall at the end.
Holy mountain. Wow, I can't believe they did that to me. Bang, bang, bang.
Alright,
well,
GonzoGuys.com. Yes, GonzoGuys.com. Look for interaction on the Facebook page as I owe some people some prizes. You'll be getting those.
At GonzoGuys on Twitter.
Retweet us, favorite us, share us with people.
GonzoGuys on the Facebooks, of course.
Yep, and GonzoGuys.com for blog entries, and there'll be some new series starting soon.
Yeah, I hope you're thirsty.
Yes, it is a useful series, so head out there. You'll see some stuff there. We will hopefully rope in our third-party member for future doses.
Yes, there is a fresh jar just waiting for him.
We've got a fresh glass jar, and we need some gold.
Yes. And we just got the title of the episode. So. All right, till next time, don't fast forward.
Well, yeah, don't fast forward this one. It's fun. Woo! My eyes.
jungle through the dark. Girl, I've never loved one like you.
Fell out of my window.
I sure do. You came jumping out.